for several weeks now, we've sort of gotten away from our study in the book of Philemon. And of course, we have been studying for several months, and this is the fourth and the last in a series of prison epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote from a prison cell through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. As we have looked over the book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and now Philemon, it's been a few weeks since we have been back on this, but I want to finish up on Sunday night out of the book of Philemon. In verses 1 through 3, we are given a greeting to Philemon and his family. And then verses 4 through 7, good reputation of Philemon. Verses 8 through 16 is a gracious plea for his runaway slave Onesimus. And then verses 17, guiltless substitute for guilty. Verse 18, we give a glorious illustration of what it means, imputation, that Christ took our sins and imputed his righteousness, right standing that we have with him. And then in verses 19 to 25, it's a general and personal items and requests. Now, one of the things that Paul has taught us in one of his letters is how that a slave is to treat his master and how a master is to treat his slaves. As you well know, in the Roman Empire, of which this is all a part of, there were some 120 million people in the Roman Empire. About half of those were slaves. And so this story, when you come to the book of Philemon here, it's a story about Philemon was a wealthy man. He lived in a place called Colossae. And of course, we studied the book of Colossians. And he had a slave among his slaves, and whose name is Onesimus. One day, Onesimus decides to bolt and run. And also, obviously, he had taken some things with him. And so what this letter is all about, it's a personal letter that the Apostle Paul writes. It's almost like a postcard that he is sending personally to this individual, Philemon, who Paul has led to the Lord at some point. Philemon probably came down while Paul was teaching in the school of Tyrannus, and there at Ephesus, no doubt he had heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this runaway slave has also been led to the Lord by the Apostle Paul, and in this letter that he writes, this personal account, Paul believes that brotherly love and forgiveness will carry the day. I want you to think about that with me this evening. Tonight, I want us to look at questions for modern day Philemons. Questions for modern day Philemons. You know, it's one thing to take a story of many, many years ago in the Bible, but then to find the practical and the personal application, the life applications that you and I can take away. And one of the things that we find here is that Paul believes with all of his heart that brotherly love, and that comes from Christians being Christians and treating each other with love and respect and forgiveness. And Paul believes this will carry today. Now, I want to go ahead and read verses 1 through 25, even though we've studied some of these. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to beloved Apphia, our Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. We looked at Apphia and we looked at Archippus and know that these are of the household of Philemon here. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I'd rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul was probably in his 60s, where he speaks about being aged there, but because of all of the persecution that he's experienced, all of the various circumstances and situations that he had involved in, it had aged him. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do any of you feel more aged than you did a year ago? Each day brings with it new identities to each one of us about how the aging process takes place. And so Paul points this out there in verse 9. Then he says in verse 10, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus. Now the apostle Paul was not married, but he had sons in the ministry. Timothy was one of his sons in the faith. Titus was one of his sons in the faith. And now Onesimus, this runaway slave, he says, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. Verse 11 is really interesting, because the word Onesimus, his name means profitable. But you see, Onesimus being a slave in the household of Philemon, he wasn't really all that profitable. I mean, his heart was not in what he was doing. Let me ask you a question. Has your heart ever not been in what you were doing? I mean, you did it. You were going through the motions. You were experiencing all the things that you normally experience, but yet your heart just wasn't involved. It just absolutely wasn't engaged in what you were doing. Onesimus was a slave in Philemon's court and Philemon's household, but his heart really wasn't in what he was doing. He wasn't giving of his best, so to speak, to his master. And so his name meaning profitable, it's really interesting. It's like Paul would be saying this, when you had profitable, Paul's saying now to Philemon, who is the master of this runaway slave, Paul is basically saying there in that verse 11, when you had profitable, speaking of Onesimus, whose name meant profitable, when you had profitable, you didn't have profitable. And now that you don't have profitable, you do have profitable. The play on of words is really interesting as you look at that verse 11. Because what Paul was basically saying was, when you had Onesimus, he really wasn't very profitable because his heart was not in it. He was not giving the best that he could to Philemon. But now things have changed. Onesimus has now found Christ as his Lord and Savior. And so Paul is going to make an appeal to Philemon to receive him back. Now, as a fellow Christian, just as Philemon would receive Paul in the very same way. In verse 12, I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but now much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me, Paul says to Philemon, this wealthy person here by the name of Philemon, if then you count me as a partner, receive him, speaking of this runaway slave Onesimus, as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Paul was saying, in other words, I've led you to Christ, and now I've led Onesimus to Christ, and the least you can do for me, in other words, is to receive Onesimus back with brotherly love. And so he says in verse 20, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers, I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And so tonight, what I want us to do, I want us to look at this passage from Philemon's standpoint. There, as we've looked at this story for tonight, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been wronged by someone? I want you to just run through the catalog of your mind for just a minute tonight. Has anybody ever wronged you? Many, many songs that have been birthed, that have been written, whether they be country songs, whether they be gospel songs, whether they be religious songs in some way, form, or fashion, or whatever song they may be, whatever lyrics may have been put to them, many of those songs have been birthed out of life experiences, of things that happen in our lives personally to us. You see, one of the questions tonight here, the context, Onesimus had stolen, obviously, according to this passage, he had obviously stolen some property from Philemon, who he is a slave to. He's run away. And so he's cost Philemon money. And so the average price of a slave was 500 denarii. That would be many, 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 many days' wages. And being wronged by Onesimus was an unfortunate fact of life in Philemon's household. Now, when you ask yourself the question, have you ever been wronged? Has anyone ever wronged you? I'm sure that each one of us here tonight could write our own chapter in the book of life experiences about having been wronged at some point and some time in our life. So that's the question I want to ask as we look at Philemon. He had been wronged by this Onesimus that he actually owned as a slave during the days of the Roman Empire. The second question tonight is, do you have the capacity to forgive? Do you have the capacity to forgive the wrongs? Let me tell you, whenever you look at people that are dealing with all kinds of emotional, psychological issues in their life, if you read many psychiatrists, many psychologists, many counselors will tell you that most of their patients, a good 50 to 80% of them, if they could get over some of the issues in their life of where they have been wronged, of what somebody has done to them, perpetrated upon them, that many of those people would no longer need the counseling or even some of the medications that they're on. It's because, do we have the capacity to forgive? You and I say in that model prayer, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You see, oftentimes, many of us pray that prayer. Many of us say that we have forgiven, but really, honestly, truly, have we truly forgiven? I believe all of these things help create health issues in our lives. I think they put undue stress on the cardiovascular system. upon the vascular system, which creates many times high blood pressure, which eventually leads to strokes oftentimes in people's life. You see in the context here, to take to oneself, to receive. When Paul asked Philemon to receive Onesimus back, what he is literally asking him to do is to totally forgive. To totally forgive Onesimus and to be reconciled to him. You see, the difficult position Philemon was forced into, if he was lenient with Onesimus, his slave, then perhaps other slaves would imitate what they had seen in Onesimus and do the same. But if Philemon is too harsh, then he hurts. He hurts his testimony of being a Christian. And tonight, whenever we are wronged, the question is, do we have the capacity within ourselves to forgive our offender? Well, the scripture certainly commands us to do that, to forgive. We have a good example. Jesus, who forgave each one of us of our sins. He imputed to us righteousness when we did not deserve that. When we forgive as Jesus did, then we are walking in the love of Christ. Our testimony merits something that people can sink their teeth in, something that people can look at. And when we forgive as Jesus forgave, as Paul is asking Philemon to do with Onesimus, then it is a great testimony to the world. There's a third thing tonight. Do you have the capacity to accept others? Do you have the capacity to accept others? Here in the context, when Onesimus left, he was a sinner. He was a slave. But when he came back as a saint and as a brother. Now to Philemon. Paul's request is for Philemon to take back Onesimus, now as not a sinner, but a saint, as a brother in Christ. When I think about that, do you and I have the capacity to accept others? Do we accept others when we don't agree with others? When we don't agree with lifestyles? When we don't agree with who and what they purport and maybe what they believe and what they think? Do we still accept them as the love of Christ? Not agreeing necessarily with what they do or what they may purport, but to love with a love that Christ would have us love. You see, in the context of this, you see Paul is saying to Philemon to reach deep into the reserves of your Christian heart and to receive him back. Are we able to receive all men? Can we receive them regardless of what they have done, or what color their skin may be, or where they come from? You see, we sing that old song, Christ receiveth sinful men, even me, with all my sin. And whenever you look at this wonderful little one chapter book, it is filled with the idea of substitution and imputation, which is what Christ did for you and me when he went to the cross and he reconciled sinful man to a holy God. It's one of the greatest little books in all of the Bible because of the substitutionary atonement that Christ did for you and me. And Paul is asking Philemon to receive back and to forgive. And Paul lets Philemon know that if Onesimus owes you anything for the things that he took from you, Paul says, charge it to my account. Let me tell you, you and I live in a world that is filled with credit cards. Let me tell you, I'm thankful tonight that Christ paid the penalty for our sin. Christ loved us so much. He was willing, God was willing to come out of heaven's glory to be the substitutionary atonement for sins that he did not commit, for a sin debt that he did not owe. You and I owed the sin debt. We could never pay it. And Christ came and he imputed through his substitution on the cross. He imputed to you and me righteousness. Aren't you grateful tonight to stand in the righteousness of Christ? It's not our goodness, it's not our righteousness, not of good that I have done. The song says nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so tonight, do we have the capacity to accept others with an unconditional love that Christ had for us on the cross? Unfortunately, in the world that you and I live in the human flesh that you and I walk in, our flesh has to be crucified every single day. Every single day, we have to go before the throne room of heaven and say, oh God, grace me today with the graces of your unconditional love that I can be forgiving to those who have wronged me, that I have the capacity through the power of the resurrected Christ to forgive that wrong that has been done against me. I have the capacity through the power of the living Christ to accept others. As Christians, you and I are to practice the same type of acceptance that Jesus practiced regardless of what someone has done in our lives. That's not an easy thing to do, is it? Others should not have to meet our standards to be accepted by us. And of course, unless we are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God, let me tell you, our capacity is diminished. Our capacity to forgive, our capacity to love others, our capacity to accept others is diminished unless the Holy Spirit of the living God is in operation in our hearts and lives, and we are looking to Jesus for the strength to be able to accept others. There's the last thing tonight that I want us to look at. Do you have the capacity? Do you have, do I have, do we have the capacity to love like Jesus loved? I want you to think about that for a minute. Let me ask you a question in your heart and mind tonight. Just think about it. What are your prejudices that you have toward others? Are they what Christ would want us to have? Are they Christ-like? Or do we ask the Holy Spirit every day, Holy Spirit of the living God, unless you are in full control of my life today, I will blow it somewhere along the way. Let me tell you, that's why moment by moment, momentarily, I believe we have to live the Christian life. You and I can live it by the power of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. But we have to appeal, to allow the Holy Spirit that lives within our hearts, and to not allow the flesh to overcome and to remind us of what that person did that would cause us to not want to have the capacity to forgive and to love as Christ would have us to forgive and love. Let me tell you, there's so much in this world tonight that needs the love of Jesus. Let me tell you, you and I may be the only book that anyone will ever read. And that's why our lives are out there as a reflection to how we portray the Christian life. and whether or not somebody else will want to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And when we're able to love others in spite of what they've done to us, then and only then are we truly living out the gospel. Are we truly living out the gospel? I can assure you, tomorrow morning when you awaken, somewhere throughout the day, something will challenge your faith system to see who's in operation of your thoughts and attitudes in life. Either the Holy Spirit will be moving, will be operating in control of who and what we react to, respond to, how we react and how we respond, or else we will have allowed the Holy Spirit to be quenched by allowing the flesh to operate. If all Christians in the world lived our lives in such a way that Christ would have us live, I can assure you, we would see more people, I believe, coming to a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I always love that verse. Your life is a book before men's eyes. They read you through and through. Say, does it point them to the skies? Do others? Do they see Jesus in you? You and I never have a second chance many times to make a good first impression that we truly are filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, every day, once we are saved, immediately, spontaneously, at that very moment that you reach out and receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. But the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. And that means every day, let the Holy Spirit motivate you, that your attitudes, that your actions, the way we respond in a situation, the way we respond to other people may determine whether or not our testimony reflects the image of Christ or whether our testimony reflects the flesh in which is a part of our lives. And oftentimes the flesh becomes more operational, and therefore it quenches and grieves the Holy Spirit who indwells each one of us. Tonight, have you been wronged? Secondly, do you have the capacity to forgive? Thirdly, do you have the capacity to accept others? And fourthly, do you have the capacity to love as Jesus loved? Paul was saying to Philemon, Paul had led both of these men to a faith in Christ. And Paul was saying to Philemon, will you now receive back this runaway slave who was once a sinner, but now he's a saint? And Paul says, if he's wronged you in any way, if he's cost you anything in any way, Paul said, put that to my credit. Put that on my account. For you see, that's what Christ did at Calvary. Christ put our sins on his account and reconciled us to a holy God. I don't know about you, but this little book has been an awesome little book. Sunday night, I will finish this. I want to look at one of the characters there in verse 24 that he speaks about. And then that will conclude our prison epistle study. And then we'll move to a new series of studies in the days to come. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. I apologize for all of the inconveniences that we have all over the church where we're ceiling parts have fallen and we've got all kinds of issues that have sprung up even this week all over the church. And so pray for the patience of all of us as we look forward to getting these things done. Jenny and the children are having to meet now in the fellowship hall because that whole inn is a disaster area. So please remember during these days that these are challenging times. And I know that many of our church family are being challenged right now. I've talked with several today. They're being challenged. They've been in for so long. They are depressed. They're despondent. And let me tell you, we need to pray for our church family. Amen. And Paul was saying to Philemon, receive Onesimus back. Receive him as a brother in Christ. Would you stand with me as we pray together and as we go tonight? God bless you. Please be safe going home and hope to see you back on Sunday morning. Father, we thank you for this time we've had together tonight in our Bible study. Thank you, Father, that as Katie sang so beautifully, we are never alone. Father, thank you that you promised never to leave us, never to leave us alone. You promised to be a present help in times of trouble. And Lord, this world is in trouble tonight. And Father, even though we are in the world, we don't have to be a part of the world. So help us, oh God, to keep our faith intact, to help us to keep our faith strong. Help us to allow the Holy Spirit every day in our lives to operate that would bring glory to the Father, in whose name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Hugs and love, everybody.